ജയം വിശുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ സ്തോത്രശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയ ചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയില പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിശുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയില പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി all glories to assembled devotees all glories to the assembled devotees all glories to the assembled devotees all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga all glories to Srila Prabhupada namam vishnu padaya krishna prasthaya bhutale shrimati bhakti vedanta swamini dinamini namaste saraswati devim gauravani prajarine nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya deshadarini ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധരവവാർണവാൽ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷകൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്തിർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മധിയോയം സഫലഃ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമന തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരതസ് ചാർത്തേഷ വിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മാ ഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത് സൂരയ തേജോവാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീഭഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിംവാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്രകൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗളിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാനമൃതദ്രവസംയുതം പിബദാ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തമനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാദരമജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനദോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാൽപദീപമതിദീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തദോ ജയമുദീരയേൽ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുക്കുണിതാദൃതാനനെന്തോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാഭി കാഭികാഭി നമാവും വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമിൻ ഹിരിനാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണം നമ വീഷ്ണശ വ്യാസം ഹരികഥോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീ ചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം പ്രതിഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതം ഭഗവതം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതം പുരാണമുനിനാ മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതീ അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ദദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപം പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദേഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുദീർഘോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം ഹംസച്ചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ശ്രീമദ്രോണതട ജയദ്രഥജല ഗന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേനോഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ നഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദി കൈവർത്തകേശവ പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരതപങ്കജക്കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സവൈർ വേദൈർ സംഗപദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാ സുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So in this seventh canto, in the first chapter, Udaya Karma Vasana. Karma Vasana, which is called Udi in the Shastram, how it happens in everybody's life. Here, Sri Narada Maharshi, we have a situation where Parikshit has asked a question to Sri Shuka Brahmarshi. Why is that Krishna is taking sides with with the demigods and punishing the demons? That was one question. The same question in another way Yudhishthira asked Sri Narada Maharshi also in the Rajasuyam sacrifice. And that question was that how is that people like Shishupala and Dandavakra gets liberated and devotees who are surrendered to Krishna remain still in this world. They are not able to free themselves from here. So same question in two different forms asked by Parikshit and Yudhishthira. So Sri Shuka Brahmarshi, it is at this time mentioning, saying this, that as far as Krishna is concerned, there is no friendship or enmity towards anybody. There is no friendship towards anyone. There is no enmity towards anybody. That's why I mentioned in this 22nd verse in the first chapter in the 7th canto. Nindana stavaskaran akarartham kalayabaram. Pradhana parayo rajan avivegena kalpidam. That's the answer to that. The whole answer to the question is that Ninda stava sadkaran akarartham kalayabaram. Pradhana parayo rajan avivegena kalpidam. Ninda stuti, that means insult and praise. And similarly, receiving someone with honor or completely ignoring him, that means salkaram and tiraskaram. Nindana stava salkaram anya kharartha kalayabaram. It is all based on the body. That is the main point. Sri Narada Maharshi is saying there. Therefore, one who does not have a body, Krishna who doesn't have a body like us, who does not identify with a body, he is not affected by that. That's the most important thing. That he is not affected by that. Only those who are identifying with the body will feel insult and praise. One who does not get affected by the, one who does not identify with the body, whether you insult him or praise him, it won't make any difference. This is the principle. Nindana stava salkaran yakkar artham kalayamaram pradhana varayo rajan avivegana kalpidam. It's only due to avivegam, ignorance, people identify with the body and then they feel praised and offended or insulted by others. So, avivegena kalpidam, because of avivegam, because of ignorance, practically this is happening. And when avivegam means ajnanam or avidya or ignorance, whichever way we call that, when it covers our swarupam, soul swarupam, our own spiritual identity, that is what is called avivegam. That means not knowing who we are. We are identifying with one particular body for a particular period of time, and we think that this body is what we are. So when that happens, and not knowing who we are, identifying with something, and then feel offended and insulted and praised and glorified and all that. So all this is dependent on your identification, which we call in the Shastram as adhyasam. The word adhyasam is for that. Adhyasam. Adhyasam with the body causes all these problems, he said. So, when we are identifying with a particular body, we will feel that I am that body. And only when you identify, then you have a body. If you don't identify with the body, you don't have a body because of identification. and body is such a thing that it doesn't have to be created because all it is required is you have to feel that you have a body. That's all. With that, identification comes. It's a little difficult thing for us to accept it because our identification is so strong. That's why. When we are completely in identification with the body, all these statements in the Bhagavadam will be difficult to digest because it's impossible for us to come to terms with it because we are so much absorbed in the body. But through examples, Bhagavadam is teaching us, through examples, it's telling us how it happens. For example, in dream state you can know this. Why? Ask this question yourself. No body has been created in the dream state. But as soon as the dream state comes in, immediately you feel a dream body there. We didn't create it. The very fact that the dream state itself creates another body for us at that time. And at that particular instant, when you are passing through that dream state, and you are so sure that you are in that dream body. At that time, their gross body is lying there, totally disconnected from you. Separately, it's lying there. But all your experiences, all your feelings, thoughts, emotions, everything is centered around that dream body, what you are going through, isn't it? So, when you are gone from one body to another body, from the vacant state to the dream state, there itself you can notice that as long as you are identifying with the gross body, you have the problems of the gross body. As soon as you identify with the dream body, you have the problems of the dream body. What is that teaching us? What it is teaching us is, it's only due to identification a body is existing. Otherwise there is no body. Of course it is because we are so absorbed in the body, it is impossible for us to come to terms with it most of the time. But logically if you look at it, all the problems of the gross body or in the vacant state completely leaves you. Suppose somebody has insulted you or somebody has praised you in the vacant state, seeing your gross body. When you left your gross body and gone to the dream body, all that praise and insult, everything has gone. It has no value anymore. It is pointing out to us that only due to identification, a particular body has any validity. Otherwise, it has no validity. It does not exist. So when I got another body in the dream state, I am experiencing so many different things in that dream state. And for me, at that point in time, that what I am experiencing in the dream state is the reality, not the vacant state. Because in the dream state, my identification is with the dream body, so whatever I am experiencing at that point in time, in the dream body, that is my reality for that time. Just like in the vacant state, when I have a gross body, body in the vacant state, whatever I am experiencing in the vacant state is my reality. When I go into the dream state, whatever I am experiencing then is the reality then. So reality also is changing. Something we say real, real, real in the vacant state is not real in the dream state. And whatever you say in the dream state is real, is not real in the vacant state equally, the otherwise also. So, as soon as you wake up from that dream state and come back to this vacant state again, at that time, the body in the vacant state has become real and the dream body has become unreal. Is it not? The body in the dream state has become unreal. Somehow or the other, due to adhyasam, that thing which we have discussed so many times before in the first canto, Parikshit Maharaj's the adhyasam chapter itself. Adhyasam is the whole problem. Due to adhyasam, we have strongly identified with this gross body. So, this gross body has become as good as it's real. As good as it's real. So, and when you realize that, what you have seen in the dream state is all false when you come to this body. Similarly, at that point, when you start feeling everything in the dream body is unreal, mithya, false, it is at the same time you are caught hold of this gross body and start identifying with this body. With this gross body. So, when it happens that way, then whatever I am experiencing in this vacant state, happiness or distress, I start feeling it is real. I start feeling it is real. So, in this way, whichever body we are identifying with each time, accordingly, the happiness and distress in that body. Whichever body we are identifying in whichever state, vacant state or dream state, the body with which we are identifying with, accordingly, the happiness and distress in that life. So everything is based on the body. So, and at the same time, this body itself is not a real thing. Krishna is keep saying this to us. Is it not? Krishna is keep saying to us, body is not a real thing. And it has been created because of our abhimanam or ahangaram inside. Due to abhimanam inside, it has been created, but it is only in our sangalpam. It is difficult to accept that, but the fact is, Krishna is saying that body itself is not real. He is saying this to Arjuna as well as to Uddhava. You will see that in the 23rd verse also, in the first chapter, ഹിംസ ത അഭിമാനേന ദണ്ഡ പാരുഷയോർ യഥ വൈഷമ്യം ഇഹ ഭൂതാനാം മമാഹം ഇതി പാർത്ഥിവ. നാരദ മഹർഷി സെഡ് 7.123 ഹിംസ തദ് അഭിമാനേന ദണ്ഡ പാരുഷയോർ യഥ വൈഷമ്യം ഇഹ ഭൂതാനാം മമാഹം ഇതി പാർത്ഥിവ. കൃഷ്ണ നാരദ മഹർഷി സെയിങ് ദർ because we have identification with the body and that ahankaram is the proof of that identification. I am this body. Because of that, when we feel, when we are punished or when we are insulted or given some trouble, we feel it. Why do we feel it? Because of the identification. And similarly, he is saying there that this killing somebody, when we say somebody has been killed, when Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, we don't get killed, is it not? In the second chapter, there is no such thing called death. But then who is getting killed? Who gets killed is this body which we have created due to our sankalpam or identification. That is what gets killed. Not the self. Self never gets killed. So that is what he is saying. That is called Vaishamyam iha bhutanam mamaham idi parthiva. Yan nibaddho abhimanoyam tad vathat praninam vatha. Yana tatha na yasya kaivalyam abhimano akhilalpana. Parasya damakartuhi khimsa ke nasi kalpyade. The next verse, 23 and 24. If you join them together, you will see what Krishna is saying here. Sorry, Narada Maharshi is saying there that when this body, which due to identification we have created, when that body, whenever you feel identification with that, at that time, when you destroy that body, you feel you have been killed. You have been killed. But Krishna's situation is different. He is the soul of everybody, not the body. It's the soul of everyone. And therefore, he does not have a body to identify with. He is the soul. He is not the body. He does not identify with any body. Therefore, nobody can say anything to Krishna about killing him. It is impossible. So, when because of our identification with the body, when we destroy a particular body, we start thinking that that person is killed. That person is killed. As far as Krishna is concerned, because he has no identification with any body, and therefore, sharirabhimanam, that what Narada Maharshi is saying, yan nibaddho abhimanoyam tad vadhal praninam vadha. Prani or living entities feels death because of their body getting destroyed. Tatha na yasya kaivalyam abhimano akhilalpana. Krishna, who is the soul of everyone, he does not have such an identification like us with the body. Parasya damakarturhi himsa kena asya kalpade. If it is like that, who can kill Krishna? Nobody can kill him because of this. This is the reason behind that. We feel when we are killing, fighting the war, killing each other, shooting each other, we are thinking, I have killed him, he killed me. We go to the court, we argue the case, this and all kinds of things goes on. People go to jail because of that. All this is when there is an identification with the body. Krishna, who has no identification with any body, any particular gross body, it is impossible to say that Krishna has been killed. What can you kill? Because the vastu, Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivadam. That vastu inside is Vastavam. In Krishna, that is the vastu. That vastu is Vastavam. It is truth. It cannot be destroyed. That's what Bhagavatam is saying from the very beginning. It cannot be destroyed. And Kaivalyad Abhimano, it says here, Kaivalyad Abhimano Akhilalpana. That is how Krishna is. Because he has no abhimanam, he has no identification with that body. Kevalam. കൈവല്യം, കേവലം, കേവല സ്വരൂപം. യു വിൽ സീ ദിസ് ഇൻ ദീസ് വേർഡ് കേവലം, വേർഡ്സ് യൂസ്ഡ് ഇൻ ദ ദേവഗീസ് പ്രേയേഴ്സ് ആൻഡ് വസുദേവ്സ് പ്രേയേഴ്സ് ഓൾസോ. വിദിതോസി ഭഗവാൻ സാക്ഷാൽ കേവല പുരുഷപര, ഹീസ് കേവലം. കേവലം മീൻസ് ദിസ് ദാറ്റ് ഹി ഹാസ് നോ ഐഡന്റിഫിക്കേഷൻ വിത്ത് എനിത്തിങ്, കംപ്ലീറ്റ്ലി ഫ്രീ ഫ്രം എവറിഥിങ്. സോ കൃഷ്ണ നെവർ തിങ്സ് that such a thought never comes to him that he is the body. Such a thought never comes to Krishna that he is the body. For us, the other way. Never the thought comes to us, we are the soul. This is the difference, Krishna's situation and our situation. Krishna never able to think that he is the body. And we cannot think outside this body any time. Is it not? Somebody has to give you all the proof to prove it to you that you are not the body. Even then we won't accept that. So big is that difference due to that, all due to identification. Because we identify with the body so strongly that even if the best proof is shown to us, we will not accept it still. Whereas in Krishna's case, Krishna never identifies with the body. Even if you tell Krishna, try to convince him he is this body, he won't be able to accept it. It's the other way. So, and as soon as we identify with the body, what happens? Then comes, I am, you are, he is, she is, like that, me, who, you, she, they, all these different individualities comes there. Individual existence comes in there. And that is what in the grammar it says, Uttama Purusha, Madhyama Purusha, Prathama Purusha, all these different variations spoken there. So, when there is no identification, then you can see that when I have no identification with my body, then I will not accept you also as your body. That is an interesting thing. If I am not identifying with my body, I will not be able to see you also in identifying with your body. That also goes away. That also goes away. See how much problem it creates, this identification with the body. As soon as we identify with one body, we will see everyone else in identification with the body. As soon as we get free from identification with body, our own body, then we will not see others also identification with their body. So that's another thing. And then at that point in time, what's our situation then? It is at that time that we realize what actually existing is only this awareness, bodham, avabodham, awareness that I exist, but not in identification with the body. And that is called kevalam, kaivalyam or kevalam. So, and in that state, when you are in that state, you cannot think and develop something new on your own, separately from you. Now you are able to do that. Separately from me, I am developing so many identities with my body. For example, when I identify with this gross body, what happens? I am identifying with so many other things along with that. Country of birth you identify. Then male, female you identify. Whether you are a man or woman, then you identify with a particular society where you are born, or you identify with as father, mother, brother, sister, husband, wife, all kinds of identification. Also, depending on the profession, whatever you are doing, you identify with that. A number of identities comes after you have identified with this body. But when you are free from this identification, then it is not possible to identify with any of those things either. None of the other things will exist. So, all those things in Shastram is classified as Ajnanam. So, first of all, when do I say that all the other, or talks about all other things, only when, first of all, identified with my body. With respect to me, all other things I'm talking about. So, you have to say that, because otherwise it is not possible to conduct the viharam in this world. So therefore identification will continue. But if one is able to come out of this identification, and then it becomes kevalam or kaivalyam, as he is saying here, tatha na yasya kaivalyam abhimano akhilalpana. Like Krishna's situation, that that is Krishna's form, not in identification with anything. And nothing happens at that time. Nothing happens at that time. So, even if that particular person, he has a body, and with that body he is doing various activities in this world, in reality he is not doing anything. Why? Because kartrutvam is not there. Identification is not there. If any karmam is performed with a body, without identification, Shastram says he has not done anything. Because identification is not there. That is the important thing. Only when you identify with something, and then only comes, people will say, oh, he has done a good thing, he has done a bad thing. But when he has no identification, only when there is identification this happens. But instead of, when he is situated in his own spiritual identity, which is Swarupam, and whatever he does, in reality Krishna says he is not doing anything. He's not doing anything. It's there in the Bhagavad Gita. You can see those verses in the third chapter, fourth chapter also. He doesn't do anything, Krishna says. So, at the same time, everything goes on in this world. And if you remember, in this state is what Krishna told Arjuna. Nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. Remember? In the 11th chapter. Nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. What does that mean? That's what this is. That you are conducting your activities without any identification. Karma is passing through the body, but there is no identification. That is that state. Nimitta matram bhava savyasajin. You will see a verse. Dronanja Bhishmanja. Let's have a look at that. One second. Tasmal tumuttishta yashavallabhaswa jitva shatrun bhunkshe rajyam samardham maye vede nihada purameva nimitta matram bhava savyasajin. This is that state what Krishna is talking about. Tasmal tumuttishta yashavallabhaswa jitva shatrun bhunkshe rajyam samardham maye vede nihada purameva nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. Where Krishna's words to Arjuna is that you are killing anyone only when you are identifying with the body. But if you are not identification with the body, you are not killing anyone. So, when Mahabharata war was happening, it is in this consciousness Krishna is fighting the war. Krishna is fighting the war. And that is exactly what Krishna is instructing Arjuna also. And that is why it's called Bhagavata Dharma. That's what is called Bhagavata Dharma. So, Bhagavata Dharma is the dharma which Krishna follows in his own time in this world. And that's the same dharma he has instructed Arjuna and Uddhava as well. And that is the reason Krishna himself instructs Bhagavata Dharma. What he follows, he is instructing them. What he follows, he is instructing them. This is his dharma. And there he is not saying anything, he is not doing anything, and he has no identification with what he is doing. Kartrutvam is not there. Kartrutvam is not there. Because if you If you want to feel kartratvam, identification with anything, you have to recognize a second thing exists. Only then you can feel identification with this. That means, if I recognize another body existing, only then I can accept that, identify with this body. Because as long as we are identifying with this one body, you will have to automatically recognize another body's existence, isn't it? So, without identifying with the body, kartrutvam or doership is not possible. Without identifying with the body. Here, the situation is, there is no identification with the body. That means that he is not thinking he is the body. He is not thinking like that. Therefore, whatever you do with this body, it will not affect him. Because there is no identification with the body. So any karma that is performed with that body is not identifying with him. These are things very subtle in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam. Only through these examples, what Krishna has spoken to Arjuna and Krishna has spoken to Uddhava, and here again Sri Narada Maharshi and Prahlada also teaching us the same thing, that this is that state when there is no identification. So, somehow or the other, in our pure consciousness, there is no identification. It's pure. The very nature of the soul, what is that? Pure. Shuddham, isn't it? Always pure. Nitya, Buddha, Mukta, Shuddha, Buddha, Mukta, Swarupam. Nitya, Shuddha, Buddha, Mukta, Swarupam. Why do we say soul is pure? Because in soul there is no identity. It's all in the mind. In the subtle body all this identity is. So, the solution to this problem is what they are saying here. Tasmad, look at the verse 7125. Tasmad vairanu bandhena nirvairena jayena bhayenava snehad kamenava yugjyad kadhanjin ikshade prudak. Sri Narada Maharshi is saying to Yudhishthira, tasmad vairanu bandhena nirvairena bhayenava snehad kamenava yunjyad kadanjin nikshade pratak. So, like Krishna has no identification with the body, rather identification with that pure consciousness. If we also can identify with that soul, which is Krishna, because Krishna is identification with the soul. If we are also able to identify with the soul, either through hate, or through enmity, or through devotion, or through fear, or through love, or through lust, whichever way it may be, if that identification happens, then the mind will become free from the identification with the body. Mind will get free from the identification of the body. So, in that way, this difference will go. Difference between the body and the self will go. So, through some emotions, that's what he was mentioning there. Through some emotions, if that happens, you see there, Krishna is saying, Narada Maharshi is saying there, yatha vairanubandhena martyastan mayadamiyal na tatha bhakti yogena idime nishchitamadi. He's saying that somehow, whatever way it is possible, that if one can, even through enmity, if one consider Krishna as our own enemy so strongly that you can forget your own body and think about Krishna, forget about yourself, and in that way total identification, tanmayi bhav, it's called yatha vairanubandena matyastan mayadam iyal na tatha bhakti yogena idime nishchitamadi. Shri Narada Maharshi is saying there, you will never be able to develop that identification with Krishna through bhakti, just like you do it through enmity, hate for Krishna. Hate is more powerful than love. Hate is more powerful than love. That's the proof of that. That through hate, how much you can remember Krishna, that way you will never be able to remember through bhakti or through love. We see that in this world also, isn't it? When there is hate, we'll go to any extent to destroy. But if there is love, we don't feel that. You never see a relationship in this world so strong in love. But in hate, you find that very strong, isn't it? It turns into, it goes through generations, from one generation to another generation, it goes through. So that is the proof. And that's exactly what he is saying, Krishna, Sri Narada Maharshi is saying here. That hate is the same way, even through bhakti, you won't reach that state as much as you will reach that state through hate towards Krishna. So, therefore, he says, Kidapesha Skudaruddha Kudhyayam Tamanusparan Sambrahma Bhayogena Vindade Tul Surubaya Turubadam Evam Krishna Evagavidhi Maya Manijamishwere Vairena Bhutabhapanam Taba Puranichindaya. Gopyagamal Bhayal Kamso Deshe Chaityadeyo Nurbha Sambandam Krishnaya Snehal Yuyam Bhaktiavayam Vibho. There are so many verses after that. So the point is that the way the mind is able to focus on a reality, that is Krishna, that's more important than anything else. That means to such an extent we are able to concentrate, or in other words, the mind is not thinking of another thing separately, always focused on Krishna, which is the soul of everyone. And situated like that, without even thinking about himself separately from that reality. And that is the principle that is going to be spoken later. Vairanubandena means Shishubala through enmity. Shishubala's known for that inimical feeling towards Krishna, isn't it? Nirvairena, that means through bhakti it is not possible to get that. Even through fear, bhayenava, or sneham, love, or bhakti, or kamam, lust, you can have all that, but whatever it may be, with any of these different emotions, somehow or the other, the mind should get fixed in Krishna. That's all it is. The mind should leave this body and get fixed in Krishna. Which way it happens doesn't matter. Krishna is the, you will see Lord Brahma saying the same thing. Krishna menam avehitvam atmanam akhilalpanam. That who is present in everyone as the soul. In him, Krishna menam avehitvam atmanam akhilalpanam. Who is present in everyone as a soul. If you look into the Brahmastuti, that is the main conclusion of that Brahma's prayers, right? If you look in the 14th chapter in the 10th canto. After Akasuravadham, he said this. That is a final conclusion from Brahma. Brahma is saying, Krishna menam avehitvam alpanam akhilalpanam jagadidaya sopyatra dehi va bhadi mayaya. He is saying that Krishna menam avehitvam alpanam akhilalpanam jagadidaya sopyatra dehi va bhadi mayaya. All we have to know is only one thing. What is that? Krishna is present in everybody. Krishnamenam avehitvam almanam akhilalpana. There is only Krishna present everywhere. There is nothing else. But to get that realization is the difficult thing. Because we got so used to seeing everyone in the Namarupam, name and form. We got used to that. Now, because and we strengthened it more and more and more whole life to see everyone in the form of Namarupam, name and form, name and form. Brahma is saying, Krishna menam avehitvam almanam akhilalpanam jagadidaya sopyatra dehiva bhadi mayaya. He's saying that this when you are seeing Krishna as in the form in this world, we shouldn't be thinking of that body and the form in the way we think about us. That will be a great mistake. Why? Jagadidaya sopyatra dehiva bhadi mayaya. He's saying dehiva bhadi mayaya. What Krishna is doing is that because we are used to name and form, for our benefit, he has accepted a form and came here. And actually he has no form, but for our benefit, he manifested a form in front of us. And we feel he has a body existing because Maya is making that feeling in us. And he takes the help of Maya to create this impression in us that there is a form existing. Actually, he is not that form. It's a very profound statement that is from Brahma. Krishna menam avehitvam almanam akhilalpanam jagadidaya sopyatra dehiva bhadi mayaya. Maya, because we only accept form, nothing else we can accept. If there is no form, we start crying. He has no form. Isn't it? We start making a big issue out of that. So Krishna says, alright, if you are in that level, I will also get to take a form. But he has no form. What he is doing is, he is saying to Maya to give us an impression that that is Krishna's form. Does anybody know Krishna's form? We haven't got any proof for that. We haven't got a photograph even. What we have now is all in our imagination, what we have created. The deities in the temples, the forms in the temples, all this is imagination. Okay. Because in one place Krishna is black, in another place Krishna is white. So which is, what is Krishna's color? And we, because we read in the Shastram, this is how he is, we artificially draw his picture, artificially people dress up like him, or artificially we carve the deities from a stone, from the granite if you stone, if you carve it will be black, from the marble if you carve it will be white. Nobody has any clear, we haven't got, so, but the thing is this, even an imaginary form of Krishna like this, if you worship, you will get liberated. That is a benediction from Krishna. You may or may not have seen me, but even that imaginary form, if you worship, you will still get released from this body. That's guaranteed. Because when Akasura Moksham's story, Akasura was killed, people were surprised how Akasura got liberated. There Shuka Brahmarshi is saying this, that people are worshipping an imaginary form which they have not seen even. They have not even seen Krishna. And they are worshipping that form in the temple, at home, at different places. And they are also getting liberated. So if they can get liberated, when Krishna has got inside Akasura, how come he will not get liberated? This was the question. This is how he answered that question. Shuka Brahmarshi says here, Krishna got into Akasura's inside and then expanded himself. And Akasura got himself broken into pieces, and then Akasura's Atma, soul, left his body, came back and merged with Krishna. At that time, Shuka Brahmarshi says this. So the important principle is this. Tasmal as Krishna menam ave. This is a very, very important verse. And this is exactly the verse in the Bhagavad Gita Krishna is saying to Arjuna also. Aham Atma Gudakesha Sarva Bhudashaya Sthida Aham Adhyanja Madhyanja Bhudanam Andameva Cha. The same verse. കൃഷ്ണമേനം അവേഹിത്വം ആത്മാനം അഖിലാൽപനം ജഗദ്ധിതായ സോപ്യത്ര ദേഹി വാ ഭാതി മായയ. ഓൺലി മായാസ് വിത്ത് മായ ഈസ് പ്രസന്റിംഗ് ടു അസ് ദാറ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് എ ബോഡി ലൈക്ക് ദിസ് ആൻഡ് വി ആർ അക്സെപ്റ്റിംഗ് ഇറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ബോഡി യു ആർ അക്സെപ്റ്റിംഗ് ദാറ്റ് ബോഡി സോ ദ പോയിന്റ് ഈസ് ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻ്റ് തിങ് ഈസ് that whichever way, through fear for enmity or hate or through love or lust, the mind has to get focused on Krishna, focused on Krishna. And after saying this, Narada Maharshi is saying there, he's saying important principle is that the mind should go to Krishna. Krishnamenam avehitvam atmanam akhilalpanam jagadidaya sopitra dehi va bhadi mayaya. Brahma said, Narada Maharshi is saying the same thing here, that anything what we feel inside, our emotions, powerful emotions like hate, fear, love or bhakti or enmity, whatever it may be, and he says, if you can do it like Shishupala, that's the best. Because it's more powerful than anything else. Like Shishupala could do. But that may not be possible. Look at the verse 26. 7126. യഥാ വൈരാനുബന്ധേന മർത്യസ്ഥൻ മയതാമിയാൽ ന തഥാ ഭക്തിയോഗേന. ഇൻ ഭക്തി, ഈവൺ വിത്ത് ഭക്തി യു വോണ്ട് ബി ഏബിൾ ടു ഗെറ്റ് ദാറ്റ്. ഈവൺ വിത്ത് ഭക്തി യു വോണ്ട് ബി ഏബിൾ ടു ഗെറ്റ് എനിവെയർ നിയർ ടു ശിശുപാല. ന തഥാ ഭക്തിയോഗേന ഇതിമേ നിശ്ചിതാ മതി. ദാറ്റ്സ് എ ഫർഗോൺ കൺക്ലൂഷൻ. ഹി സേസ് ഇറ്റ്സ് എ ഫർഗോൺ കൺക്ലൂഷൻ. Even with your, the greatest devotee is nowhere near to Shishupala. Shishupala had such a close connection with Krishna that he hated Krishna to such an extent that it's impossible for Krishna to say no to him, to Shishupala. So even above Bhakti Yoga is this Shishupala state. Shishupala's state of consciousness is even higher than the greatest devotee. This devotee. So, that power of hate, what Shishupala had, Bhakti Yogam doesn't have. We all say so many things about Bhakti, but here see what Narada Maharshi is. And who is saying this? The greatest Acharya of Bhakti Yoga. He is saying this. That Shishupala's strength of hate towards Krishna is so intense it was that even no devotee can get anywhere closer to him. To that extent, he had that hated Krishna. He had hated Krishna. So he says, then he says, Kida Peshaskrida Rudha Kudhyayam Tam Anusmaran, 27th verse. Samramba Bhaya Yogena Vindade Tol Swarupadam. That's the example he has given. Like this cocoon brings the worm from the leaf and keeps it in its nest and frightens it. And this worm which has come from the leaf in course of time becomes another cocoon later. Always thinking, because what it does is it brings the worm and puts it inside its own little nest and then it sits outside. Now and then it has got two horns, with that it will poke onto it. So it will feel pain and it will get frightened. So he's thinking all the time, thinking about this cocoon outside. And then it gets so frightened. One day, its body, which has its worm body before, it turns out to be another cocoon outside. So by intense meditation, this can happen. But that intensity will only happen if you have a very strong emotion behind it.
And that strongest emotion which can do this is hate and fear. In Shishupala's case, because he hated Krishna so much, that eventually Krishna says, you come back, you have done your best. And similarly, Kamsa also, out of fear. That's why they've all gone back. And we sitting here with our bhakti. We're still here with our bhakti. Where is it? Where is bhakti then? What's happening to bhakti? So, so if a simple worm, out of fear for this cocoon, if it can happen like this, think about a person who is fearing about Krishna all the time. That means there is such a continuity all the time. Not for a second, the worm will forget the cocoon. Similarly, not for a second, Shishupala will forget Krishna. Imagine that. We have to have our meditation and yoga classes and all that. Even then we get probably for 5 seconds, if we do remember Krishna. Is it not? That itself is a big struggle, to remember 5 seconds Krishna. After that the mind goes. Impossible to get the mind under control. But look at Shishupala's situation. He doesn't have to go for meditation. He doesn't have to sit 24 hours thinking about Krishna, hating him to such an extent that you, Krishna feels that he deserves the award. So that is why he's saying there that evam Krishne Bhagavati Maya Manijam Ishwari Vairena Bhuta Bhatmanam Tamapura Nichindaya. That evam Krishne Bhagavati Maya Manijam Ishwari Vairena Bhuta Bhatmanam Tamapura Nichindaya. That Krishna is Sachidanandam, isn't it? Satta Chitta Anandam, that is Krishna. Alma inside is Satta Chitta Ananda for everybody. That is Krishna's real Swarupam, is that. Real Swarupam is not what we see in the temple or what we drawn in the picture. That is not Krishna's real Swarupam. Krishna's real Swarupam is this, what he is saying here. That Maya Manijam Ishwari Vairena Pudabhatmena Samabhur Anachindaya. That Krishna's real Swarupam is Sachidanandam. Satya Chitta Anandam is Krishna. Satya Chitta Anandam is Krishna. So, in that Krishna, who has accepted a body with Maya, with Maya's help. Because if Maya is not present in these pastimes, we won't be able to understand Krishna the way we are understanding now. Because Krishna is pure Atma, soul. Therefore, in all the pastimes, Maya's presence is there in that. That's what it says. Maya Manijam Ishwari. He is Maya Manijan. Maya Manijan means he is a product of Maya. The form what we are seeing is the product of Maya. Only because we are in Maya, a form is created like that for our relationship. This will become more clear when we lead to the 10th canto. More detailed explanation given there. That Sri Shuka Brahmarshi is saying there that Maya Manijam, so many places it will say the same thing, it will repeat it about Krishna's position. And in that Krishna, if you have purified yourself by your enmity towards Krishna, then they will go back to Krishna. They will go back to Krishna. That's what he is saying here. Evam Krishna Bhagavati Maya Manijam Ishwari Vairena Pooda Papmanam Tamabhur Anijindaya. Tamabhur Anijindaya. Constantly absorption in that. In this way, Shishupala and Dandavatra, they both gone back. And they, through this hating Krishna, they purified themselves. By hating Krishna, they purified themselves. Because Krishna is pure. Satya Chitta Anandam, that is Krishna. And Shishupala and Dandavatra, when they were hating Krishna. And this form what Krishna has manifested in this world with the help of Maya is also Sachidanandam. Because he is Sachidanandam. He cannot have a body like us. So when Shishubala and Dandavatra is hating Krishna, they are actually hating this Sachidanandam. Or they are feeling fear of this Sachidanandam. Therefore, the mind got absorbed in that form. And they got released. What he says here, Tamapur Anichindaya. That means Anichindaya. All the time thinking about Krishna. So, in that time, the question comes, if you abuse Sachidanandam like that, Krishna, is that not sinful? That question will come, isn't it? We'll all ask that question. How can you stand in front of Krishna and abuse him like this? That's pretty heavy thing, isn't it, to do that? The answer, Narada Maharshi's answer to that is, that earlier what he said, there is no, the sinful and pious and all that is all in relationship with the body. If you abuse Krishna, because he is not identifying with any form, whatever you are saying is just going like air. It's not has any impact on the person because he is not identifying with that form. Only when there is identification, there is a problem. We feel hurt when somebody insults us or offends us, right? Similarly, when praise us, we feel happy. Why is that? Because we identify with this body, therefore. Otherwise not. Otherwise it has no meaning. Who is identifying whom? So, but when Shishubala is offending Krishna, speaking, abusing Krishna, what is actually happening? He is abusing Sachidanandam. Satya Chittanandam. He is not abusing a material body there. So therefore, there is no impact. Instead, he has got the benefit of that. And two things are happening at the same time. On the one hand, that he is very intensely remembering Krishna in its pure form, Satya Chittanandam. It has taken a form, that is true. It has taken a form. For us, it appears as though Krishna has a form. Isn't it? Krishna has a form. But that is not the way to see Krishna. Lord Brahma is saying there, Krishna menam avehitvam almanam ahilalpana. That is the way to see Krishna. Jagadidaya sopetra dehivam iti bhayaya. Dehiva bhadi mayaya. Only when we are affected by maya, and we look at Krishna, we will see in that form. Dehiva bhadi mayaya. But jagadidaya sopyatra dehiva bhadi mayaya. With the help of maya, in maya, when you are looking at him, you will see he has got this form, he has got this. But otherwise, how do you see Krishna when you are not in that state? Krishna menam avehitvam alpanam akhila alpanam. You see him as the alma of everyone. That is his real identity, alma of everybody, the soul of everyone. So, here, when Shishubala and Dandavatra and all, when they were, it so happened that they were fortunate enough to have Krishna like this in front of them. Sachidananda Swarupam there, Satyachitanandam. Therefore, because they abused that Sachidanandam, they got the benefit of intense attachment to Krishna. Because hate is more powerful than love. Because they hated that Sachidanandam so strongly, they got very attached to that form. Because if you have to hate somebody, you have to be very attached to that form. Isn't it? Otherwise it's indifferent. Udasinatvam comes. Indifference comes. But if you hate somebody, you'll hate that form so strongly. But it so happened in Shishubala's case, that form happened to be Sachidanandam. That was the Shishubala's good fortune. And then the Vatra. So two things happened there. On one side, they hated that Sachidanandam to such a degree that they could not get out of it. They could not forget Krishna anymore, for any, what is not a second. Secondly, because it was Sachidanandam, that he is remembering Sachidanandam inside, all the sinful reactions also got burned in that process. Both things happen at the same time by developing hate towards Krishna. Because on one side, the sinful reaction of hating Krishna. On the other hand, the pious results of remembering Krishna. Both happened at the same time. They got nullified. Both punyam and pavam, pious and sinful activities, both has to go, get to become zero, both things. Suppose you have pious results to your credit, then you have to come back to enjoy that. And similarly, if you have sinful reactions, the results of that, you have to come back to suffer that. But here what was happening, because both Shishubala and Dandavatra, they hated Krishna so much, due to that there is a sinful reaction. But because he remembered Krishna in that process so strongly, all that sinful reaction also got wiped off. Both happens at the same time.
Evam Krishne Bhagavadi Maya Manijam Ishwari Vairena Budavapmaina Tamapura Nishindaya Kamadveshal Bhayal Snehal Yadha Bhakti Ishwari Mana Aveshatatakam Hitva Bhagavar Stalgadim Gada Gopyagamal Bhayal Kamso Desha Chaidyadayo Nruba Sambandhal Vrishnaya Sneha Yuyam Bhaktya Vayam Vibho.
Many examples Sri Narada Maharshi is saying there. Many examples. We say about Shishubala, what sadhana has he done? He didn't go to any temple. He didn't chant one round Mahamantra. He doesn't need any Mahamantra. He doesn't need to go to temple. He didn't study Bhagavad Gita. He didn't read Srimad Bhagavatam. All he did was, he abused and abused and abused Krishna day and night because of that intense hate inside. Fortunately for him, it so happened the hate was towards that Sachidanandam. And who is this form what you are seeing in this world? How do we, ordinary people, have to understand that? That's what Brahma is teaching us. Krishna menam avehitvam alpanam akhilalpanam. Do not misunderstand that form standing there with another body. That's what Brahma is saying. Do not misunderstand this form with another body. Reminding us again. Alpmanam, akhilatmanam, jagadidaya sopitra, dehiva bhadi mayaya. You feel that he has a body because of the presence of maya in this world. That is why you feel he has a form, he has a body like this. That is not his real identity. His real identity is sata, chitta, anandam. That is Krishna. So this is how Bhagavatam is taking us. Then, Gopyagamal Bhayal Kamsa Desha Chaityadaya Nruba Sambandha Vrishnaya Snehal Yuyam Bhaktya Vayam Vibho. Verse 30, he says there. So, all those things what's mentioned there, in normal course we will think they are all problems, isn't it? Kamam, for example, lust. Krishna is saying to us, in Bhagavad Gita also, as well as in the Bhagavatam, lust, anger and greed are the three gateways to hell, is it not? In the Bhagavad Gita. Kamam, krotam, tadha, lobam, tasmaleva, trayam, tyajed. He says in the 18th chapter. And here, Bhagavatam is saying, gopis have reached the perfection in spiritual life through lust. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that Kamam, krodham, tadha, lobam, tasmadeva, trayam, tyajed. You'll see, I think it's in the 18th chapter somewhere. So, there Krishna is saying like this, kamam, krodham, tadha, lobam. Lust, anger and greed, right? There are three gateways to hell. Gateways to hell. What does it say? Trividam naragaseidam dwaram nashanam alpana, he says. Three gateways to hell. Trividam naragaseidam dwaram nashanam alpana. Three gateways to hell is kamam, krodham and lobham. And here Srinarada Maharshi is saying, Gopis have reached Krishna through Kamam and Shishuvala reached Krishna through hate, and Shishuvala had so much anger and hate towards Krishna, and all these people they got back there. So is Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita saying two different things? That question will come. That's why we have to study carefully Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam to understand this, what it all refers to. It so happened that in Gopi's case, just like Shishuvala's case, they hated this Sachidanandam. That was their good fortune. They got back. They got back. They hated that Sachidanandam. They got back. Gopis also, they felt lust towards Krishna. But it so happened, their lusty feelings were towards Sachidanandam. Like the way Shishuvala felt towards Sachidanandam. And therefore, both of these two particular relationships, Gopis as well as Shishuvala, both of them became the very cause for their liberation. For their liberation. So, in the Rasa Krida, Rasa dance, there were many Gopis who could not reach Krishna. They were prevented from coming by their family members. Their husbands have locked them up in the room. They couldn't go. So, and you will see that in the 29th chapter, 10:29. Dussaha Prashtaviraha Tivratapa Dudhashubha Dhyana Prapta Chidashlesha Nurvartya Chino Mangala. That's the verse. Dussaha Prashtaviraha Tivratapa Dudhashubha Dhyana Prapta Chidashlesha Nurvartya Chino Mangala. They were not allowed to go for the Rasa dance. They were locked up in the room by their husbands. And what happened to them? They felt separation from Krishna. Another emotion. Separation from Krishna so intensely that they got liberated. They got liberated. That Preshta Viraha, you will see. Dusaha Preshta Viraha. Preshta Viraha means their sinful reactions have all gone because of thinking about Krishna. So, there, what happened? That separation was very strong. Feeling of separation from Krishna. That emotion became very strong in the gopis. Gopis were locked up. So, and it was unbearable for them. Therefore, it was so intense. Therefore, the distress due to that, they got liberated. So you can see, gopis got liberated due to lust towards Krishna. Gopis also got liberated due to separation from Krishna. And Shishubala got liberated due to inimical feeling towards Krishna, the hate inside. Similarly, Kamsa got liberated due to the fear of Krishna. Isn't it? So, whenever any of these emotions becomes very strong, and provided it is directed towards Krishna, all their sinful reactions will also go because it is directed towards Krishna. It is directed towards Krishna. So, sinful reactions, what normally we would have burned in several lifetimes, they burned it in a few seconds because it was so intense. When you get a lot of distress very intensely in this life, what that means is you have managed to escape a few more lifetimes. That's the explanation to that. If you get a lot of distress in this life, that means a few lifetimes you don't have to accept another body. The total misery you have to experience is already there. You can take it little by little over several lifetimes, or you can take the whole lot in one lifetime and finish it up. So this is the example for that. Gopis' case, particularly, that for many lifetimes what they would have, some of the gopis would have had to go through, all that thing was destroyed in this one lifetime. So, that is what it is saying here, that it is not good enough if the sinful reactions are wiped out. The pious activities also have to be wiped out. That is why Kshina Mangala, you will see a word that we use there in the 29th chapter. Kshina Mangala, it says. Kshina Mangala means that Dussaha Preshta Viraha, the 10th verse. Dussaha Preshta Viraha Tivra Taba Dutashubha Dhyana Prapta Achyud Ashlesha Nirvrtya Kshina Mangala. There, for gopis, they embraced Krishna within their heart. Those gopis who were not allowed to go to see Krishna, they embraced Krishna within their heart. And due to that, dhyana, that means strong meditation inside. Dhyana prapta achyuda ashlesha nirvartya kshina mangala. They got released from all their pious activities. Because the happiness they experienced with Krishna in their heart has compensated for all their pious activities. And dussaha preshtaviraha tivratapa dutashubha. All their sinful reactions were wiped out because of feeling intense separation, that distress inside, being separated from Krishna. That's what that is. Dussaha preshtaviraha tivratapa dutashubha. That's one. And all their pious activities, dhyana prapta achyudashlesha nirvrutya kshina mangala. When they embraced, gopis embraced Krishna in their heart in meditation, all the results of their pious activities also got wiped out. Practically what it means is, there is no more pious results, there is no more sinful reactions. Both are gone. That means their material body is over. There is no more prarabdham left to go through. They got released. Just like the same thing happened to Shishubala also. Only thing is, in Gopi's case, it was lust or feeling of separation, viraham. Whereas in Shishubala's case, it was hate. And in Kamsa's case, it was fear. But everywhere, the same thing is happening. Whether it is Shishubala or it Kamsa or it the Gopi, the same thing is happening. That the emotion is so intense, it is so intense, that on the one side, all the sinful reactions are getting wiped out. On the other side, all the pious results are also getting extinguished. Dussaha preshta viraha tivrata badutha shubha dhyana prapta chuda shlesha nirvrtya kshina mangalaha. That everything is, Shuka Brahmarshi is explaining all these things to us, that so that we don't misunderstand Krishna. That is the reason. We don't misunderstand Krishna. Because it's very easy to misunderstand Krishna. Krishna, who Krishna is. That is why again and again, throughout Bhagavatam you will see this. Krishna will remind, Shuka Brahmarshi will remind us who Krishna is. Why? Because our bodily identification is so strong. We will start thinking of him as a person like us. That will come. In the sense that we may think of him, oh, he may be a little bit stronger than us, or maybe a little bit more opulent than us, or maybe more yogic powers he may have, but he's also like us, another body. That misunderstanding should not come. That is the reason why it's again and again told, repeatedly, that Krishna menam avehitvam almanam akhilalpanam jagadidaya sopetra dehiva bhadi maya. The same message he will keep giving to us in all the pastimes to remind us. Look, this vastu is not what you are thinking about him. He is different. It is something different. Jagadidaya sopetra dehiva bhadi maya. only in the presence of Maya you are seeing him like this form. Actually, that is not his real form. His real form is Atmanam, Akhila Atmanam. Actually, he is the only one who is present. Who is present in everywhere, in every body. That's he. That is his real form. Antaryami, inside. So, after saying that, So, because they remembered Krishna, gopis remembered Krishna, because of that, all their pious results also got wiped out. And when pious results and the sinful results both gone, then this body cannot exist anymore. Body is existing because one of these things are there. Most of us have got both, little bit of this, one little, one other one, a lot. That's why we are like this. So, as long as these two are there, which one? Pious results and the sinful results, we will have a body. We will have a body. When both become zero, both sides, the books have to balance. When it's balanced, then no more body after that. This is the law. This is Krishna's law. So, till that happens, but in the case of gopis, in the case of Shishuvala, in the case of Kamsa and all, it all happened instantaneously through hate and through love and through fear, all happened straight or through separation, like in the case of gopis, that has happened. They all got back to Krishna. And here you will see that even through lust, sinful activities and pious results, both were gone, both were wiped out. Similarly, any emotions for that matter, this can happen. Any emotion, this can happen. Through any emotion, it can happen. No, it's okay. So, now, fear is tamogunam, isn't it? Fear is tamogunam. Like lust is also tamogunam. Lust, fear, all these are tamogunam. And normally we will say we have to have sattugunam. Otherwise you won't. We say from tamogunam you should come to rajogunam, and from rajogunam to sattugunam, and then you have to have the knowledge in sattugunam, and then you will have liberation. This is the normal way it is spoken, isn't it? Upanishads and everything speaks like that. But here you see what happened. From tamogunam straight back to spiritual world. Both for Shishuvala as well as Dandavakra and Kamsa. All of them in extreme tamogunam. From there, even before coming to sattugunam, gone back to the spiritual world. So, only people like Kamsa and Shishuvala can have that. Not for everybody. That's why if you look into the 10th canto, to explain this, what was Kamsa's state? If you look into the 10th canto, there are many interesting things in the Bhagavatam like this. When you start, only then you start realizing that it is not a black and white thing, spiritual life. Spiritual life is not a set of rules told that you follow these rules, everything will be okay. Unfortunately, it is not. That's the way it works. So that's why if you look into the 10th canto, in the 2nd chapter, you will see there, about Kamsa saying, before going back to spiritual world, this was his state. Asinam 24, 10 to 24. Asina samvishasthishtan bunjana paryadan mahim chindayano krishigesham apashyal tanmayam jagal, he says. Apashyal tanmayam jagat. Wherever he looked, there is only Krishna in all over the creation. For Kamsa. And we want to get there. But Kamsa got there first. See? Asinam. When he sits on the chair, he's checking if Krishna is there at the bottom, somewhere. ആശ്രീന സംവിശസ്തിഷ്ഠൻ ഭുഞ്ചാന പര്യടൻ മഹീം വൈൽ വാക്കിംഗ് ഈസ് തിങ്കിങ് ഇസ് കൃഷ്ണ ബിഹൈൻഡ് മീ സോ എവറി ടു സ്റ്റെപ്സ് ഹി വിൽ ലുക്ക് ബാക്ക് ഇഫ് കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് ബിഹൈൻഡ് ഹിം ഭുഞ്ചാന പര്യടൻ മഹീം സോ വൈൽ സിറ്റിംഗ് വൈൽ സ്ലീപ്പിംഗ് വൈൽ സ്റ്റാൻഡിംഗ് ഇവൺ വൈൽ ഈറ്റിംഗ് കൃഷ്ണ ഹി വാസ് ചെക്കിംഗ് ദി ഫുഡ് ഇസ് കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് ഇൻ ദ ഫുഡ് Devotees make fun of Krishna sometimes. Krishna was more than a sannyasi. A real sannyasi he was. Why? Because sannyasi is, how a sannyasi should live, it is in the Ekadasha Skandham. If you look that, you will find sannyasi's qualification, Krishna is saying there, that he should filter the water before drinking, to check if any worms are there, not to conduct any violence towards another living entity. So there he is saying this, that sannyasi should be like that. Drishtibodham nyasel padam. If you look in the 11th canto, 18th chapter, verse 16. Drishtibodham nyasel padam, vastrabodham pivejjalam. Every time when you walk, you put your step, you should check if there is any living being underneath the feet, so that you don't commit violence, right? Drishtibodham nyasel padam. Then, vastrabodham pibejjalam. Before you drink water, you should check in the water if there is any living being. Satyabodham vaded vajam. Manabodham samacharel. So, when you read Kamsa's state here, that that Kamsa was so fearful about Krishna, he was like a sannyasi. He was like a sannyasi. Kamsa was like a sannyasi. Drishtibodha nyased padam. Vastrabodha bibed jalam. He was like that. So, people are fearful in this world. All of us have fear to some degree, isn't it? But a fear like what Kamsa had, it's impossible to get that fear. Because constantly is thinking, Krishna is after me. Wherever he looked, there is only Krishna, nothing else. And that means there was no break in his thoughts any time for something else. It's always Krishna all the time. That and because he had no time even to think that he's feeling fearful, to such an extent he was absorbed. Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. That's what always he was concerned about. Because of that fear, it got disturbed. That he never thought about even fear. So, 24 hours, absorbed in Vishnu, and because Kamsa was thinking about Vishnu in that way, the whole sinful reactions from him has gone. Whatever Kamsa has done before, all that sinful reaction has gone. Similarly, Shishupala's all the hate is gone. Because this fear, hate, all this is dundvam. It is dundvam, duality. That means, only if you have, there is duality in us, we can feel fearful and we can feel hate. Is it not? That's understandable. Suppose I feel there is something else existing separately from me. Only then I can feel fear of somebody else. Suppose there is nothing existing outside me. There's only me. There's nobody else. Whom will I feel fearful about? In the same way, that is what is called a dundvam. Dundvam means a second thing existing outside me. Yes. So, same thing with fear also. Hate also. If I feel there is something else existing outside me, only then I will be fearful about that something. Similarly, if there is something else existing outside me, only then I can hate that thing. But if something else is not existing outside me, how can I hate that? And that is called a dundvam. That's called dundvam. So when there is dundvam, there cannot be knowledge. That is why in the first canto, in the second chapter, Vadandida Tattvavidam Tattvam Yajnanam Advayam, it says. Why is that Advayam? Advayam is this one without a second. That means nothing exists outside this truth of the Atma. That is what it is saying there. Tattvam Yajnanam Advayam. Advaya Jnanam it is called. Advaya Jnanam means that you do not have dvandvam inside anymore. Proper Jnanam has come. That means only one thing existing here, that is soul, Atma. That realization, right? So, so if dvandvam and this Advaya Jnanam, two things. One is dvandvam, what is Kamsa and everybody else in this world, dvandvam. If this dvandvam and this Advaya Jnanam, if these two things, if you compare, if these two states, only Advaya Jnanam will win. Dvandvam will never win. Advaya will win. It is not possible. So, what happens is, when Advaya Jnanam comes, dvandvam goes away. And whatever problems dvandvam has created, that will go with Advaya Jnanam. This is called Advaya Jnanam. Advaya Jnanam means, when we say, of course, we will translate that as one without a second, isn't it? That is Advaya Jnanam spoken in the Bhagavadam. That Vadandida Tattvavidam Tattvam Yajnanam Advayam. Advaya Jnanam means this, that we getting realized that there is no second vastu existing here. There is only one vastu here, Atma. Nothing else exists here. That realization. So, So, therefore, so many different emotions, right? Satyam emotions, Rajas emotions. Like, for example, fear, hate, all this is Tamasa Vikaram. That means coming from the ignorance mode. Similarly, love, devotion, all this is Satya Vikaram. From Satugunam comes all these things. It does not matter what emotions is inside. Even if our devotion or love for Krishna, even if it is not very strong, it does not matter. But if you have a love, if you are, sorry, hate or fear for Krishna, the only thing is, these emotions have to become very strong. Which one? When it comes to hate or fear. Hate or fear. Only in that case, you won't be able to get back to Krishna. You won't be able to realize Krishna. That is the... that is why these kamam, lust, dvesham, hate, bhayam, fear, they are all bad things. In reality, they are all bad things. Because they are all coming from tamogunam. But even though it is coming like that, if it is very intense inside, it can become a cause for liberation. Can become a cause for liberation. Now, instead of all this, this is all not possible for us. Because these people who had come like this, they have all, when they left Vaikuntham, they come with this special ticket. They come like that. That's why they could do that. We won't be able to do that. What Kamsa has done or what Shishupala has done, we will never be able to do that. Even what gopis have done, we won't be able to do that. It is simply an illusion to think that we will reach that state. That's not going to happen. Because the strength what those emotions have, it's not possible for ordinary people to reach that. Even though it's mentioned in the Bhagavadam, very detailed about Gopi's relationship with Krishna, and people have started thinking that, what if I want to be like a Gopi? What will be my situation then in the spiritual world? And people were hugging the trees and dancing like peacocks and all that. Tried all these things, but nothing is happening. They had tried all these things, it didn't happen anything. So that is showing that foolishness, foolish understanding of the things. that you don't become a gopi overnight. It doesn't happen like that. Those personalities who had come and who had done all these things in this world, if you read their background, how many millions of lifetimes they had to develop a relationship with Krishna, and they have come here on invitation. We didn't come here on invitation first. We were forced to come. And we are thinking that we will be like gopis anytime. It's not going to happen. So it's a misunderstanding. Because they have not understood Bhagavatam properly. Bhagavatam is not telling us everybody should become a gopi. Where does it say? Everybody is not. That is why in the Bhagavatam we have got Prahlada, we have got Dhruva, we have got Akrura, we have got Uddhava, we have got so many others also in Parikshit above everything else. Right? So, but when Uddhava was sent to Vrindavanam, Krishna sent Uddhava to speak to gopis, Krishna told Uddhava, Uddhava, look at those devotees. All you can do, stay away from them, long away from them, and pay your obeisances to them. They are not ordinary devotees. Krishna warned Uddhava this before he went to Vrindavanam. Why? To know that there are devotees in that state also. That's all we can do about the gopis. We will not be able to understand them. Because to develop a relationship with Krishna like that, in one lifetime or thousand lifetimes is not possible. It has happened for how many lifetimes? There were sages, rishis, who have performed intense austerities, penances in many, 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 many lifetimes. Great yogis. These are the people who have come in the dress of these gopis. So it's pointless to think that we will become like gopis overnight and start hugging the trees or dancing like peacocks. It's all the madness. So, therefore, he is saying here, this question came up. Our Vena, Prithu Maharaj's dad, he doesn't belong to any of this category, he says. Why? What did Vena do? Vena's relationship with Krishna was different. Why? Vena says like this, simply saying that it's me who is everything. It's me who is everything. And that is why he is saying here, in this you will see, because Narada Maharshi wanted to clarify that straight away. Katamobina venasyal panjanam purusham prati. Vena does not fall into any of these categories. Which one? Kamam, bhayam, sneham, bhakti. None of them. Vena didn't have any of these things. That's what he's saying here. Katamobina venasyal panjanam purusham prati tasmal kena pyubayena mana krishne niveshayal. Because Vena didn't have any one of these emotions towards Krishna. All Vena said was, I'm not bothered, he said, I am the everything. So you can see the difference between Vena and Kamsa, or Vena and Shishubala. Shishubala and Kamsa, all their emotions were directed towards Krishna. Vena, none of Vena's emotions were directed towards Krishna. Directed towards Krishna. So therefore, nothing happened to Vena. He says that if there is a God, that's me. He didn't say it's Krishna. He didn't accept Krishna. He didn't have any reference to Krishna. Everything is centered around him. Ahambaram, ahangaram. Therefore, he did not get liberated. But Vena got liberated. Why? Through Vena's body, Prithu Maharaj came to this world. And because Prithu is Krishna himself, another form had come. Because of Prithu, Vena got back. So various different ways it can happen in life. How one gets liberated, nobody knows. How it will happen. Through whom? How? What medium it can happen is very difficult to say. Everybody getting liberated in different ways. So we'll continue after a few minutes.
Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvapanam shreya kaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradivada purna amradaswadanam sarvapna sabanam param vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam nam nama gari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatra arpida nimida smaranena kala eda drishi tava kripa bhagavan mamabhi durdaiva medrashamiha janina anuragaham trinara vishuni jena tarorabhi sahishuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari nathanam najanam nasundarim kavidam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani shwari bhavadat bhakti rahe dugitvai ainanda tanuja kingaram vadidamam shame bhavambudau kripaya tava pada pangaja sthita dhuli sadrisham vichindaya nam galadashukaraya vadanam gadgadaruddhaya gira pulagair nijidam kadavabhu tavannam grahane bhavishyadi yuga idam nimeshena chakshusha pravisha idam shunya idam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name ashleshya vapadaradam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karyoduva yadathadava vidadadulam pado malpranathastu naevanaparam sarvatra govinda nama sankirtanam govinda govinda.
So Vena got back on another ticket. Everybody has got some different tickets. At least you must have a ticket. That's the main thing, isn't it? So now, in order to show that that this Shishupala and Dandavatra, they are not ordinary people. They are not ordinary people. After all, what it says here? Madrashvasena yovaschai dandavatrascha pandava. Madrashvasena yovaschai dyo dandavatrascha pandava. Parshada pravaro vishnor viprashaval padachudom. That saying that to Yudhishthira, who is saying this, Srinarada Maharshi is saying to Yudhishthira, your mother's sister's children they are. Who? Shishupala and Dandavatra. Right? Both of them, they were in Vaikuntham before. They were cursed by the four Kumaras, Sanaga, Sananda, Sanadana, and Sanat Kumara. And therefore, they lost their position and they have come here. But originally, they were direct servants of Krishna there in the Vaikuntham. Vishnu's servants there, is it not? In order to show that, they are not ordinary people. And if you look at this, see, Yudhishthira Vaja, Ki Idrisha, Kasya Vashabo, Haridasa Abhimarshana, Ashradhem Ivabadi, Hare Ekandinam Bhava. That is, then Yudhishthira is asked this question, that how come they got cursed? It's impossible to believe that in Vaikuntham they get cursed. Here, if you get cursed, it's not surprising. Every time, everybody is cursing everyone else. But in Vaikuntham, people curse each other. Does that happen? That was Yudhishthira's question, isn't it? So, because in Vaikuntham, those who are in Vaikuntham, even though they may appear to have a body, they have no connection with the body, no identification with the body, because they are all like Krishna there. No bodily identification, right? Just because Krishna has accepted a body and come here, doesn't mean Krishna has got a body. Because there is no identification with the body. That's the difference. Krishna has no identification with that form. So, these devotees, Krishna's servants also, Vishnu's servants there, they are also like that. Even though they have body, they have no identification with that. Therefore, the servants of Vishnu, like Jaya and Vijaya, who are in the Vaikuntha planets, that they will not be affected by a blessing or a curse, because there is no identification. Only when there is identification, it affects them. But Yudhishthira's question was, there were servants of Vishnu there, but this curse seems to have affected them, isn't it? Why did this happen? Who has cursed them? And Ashradhayam Ivabhadi Hare Rekandinam Bhava. Then it's finding it difficult to believe this has happened. Haridasabhim Arshanam Hare Rekandinam Bhakti Hare Rekandinam Bhava. Yudhishthira says, so people who are living in Vaikuntham, they coming here and live like us in this world and take birth in this earthly planet, that I have never heard before. It's a quite an unusual thing, isn't it? From Vaikuntham they come here to this place and take birth here. If it is like that, I have never heard this, Yudhishthira says. I never thought such a thing can happen, he says to him. Dehendriya, look at Yudhishthira's questions, yes. Dehendriya Sukhininam Vaikuntha Paravasinam Deha Sambandha Sambandham Medad Akhyadu Marhasi. Because Deham Indriyam, that means body and the senses, they have no contact there. It says Deha Sambandham Sambandham Medad Akhyadu Marhasi. When you have no contact with the body, how come then they came here after being cursed? If you have no contact with the body, then that means even somebody curses you or praises you, it should not have any impact on you, should not have any effect on you, because you are not identifying with the body, isn't it? You are not identifying with the body. So earlier we said that only when you are identifying with the body you have a problem. But here you are not identifying with the body, and then how come that this has happened? That is Yudhishthira's question. Dehendriya Suhinanam Vaikuntha Paravasinam Deha Sambandha Sambandham Edad Akhyadu Marhasi. If you can explain that to me, the reason why they fell down from Vaikuntham to this world, why did they come? It's quite an unusual thing, because this question has more significance. Why? Krishna is saying that the liberation means once you have gone back, you don't come back again from there. There is a statement in the Upanishads also. Where you go back, then you don't come back from there. So if you are coming back from there, that's again a question mark. How come you have come back? Once you are gone, they don't come back. So that itself creates a question. And therefore, he asked this question, but find it difficult, he said, Yudhishthira said. Particularly, people from Vaikuntham, they come and want to take birth in this world. That's quite an unusual thing, he said. Never heard this. I'm unable to believe that, he said. How did this happen? That's what he's asking. Dehendriya Suhinanam Vaikuntha Paravasinam Deha Sambandha Sambandham Etad Akhyadu Marhasi. How did this happen? Because normally those who are in Vaikuntham, they don't have a body and they don't have senses and they don't have prana and life air like we have. All these things are required when you have a material body. Senses, life air. Then we got different tonics to get the life air going, isn't it? That will only work for the body, gross body. And they don't have any of these things there. They don't have a body. They don't identify with any body. And they also don't identify with the no identification means that if you curse them, it should not affect them. Or if you praise them, it should not affect them. Because only in your bodily identification you have all these problems, isn't it? And because there is no body, there is no senses, there is no prana and life air in there, and they have no identification is there. And that's why he's saying there that Vaikuntha Paravasinam, വൈകുണ്ഠപുരവാസിനാം ദേഹസംബന്ധ സംബന്ധം ഏതാഖ്യാതു അർഹസി. സോ ഇഫ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ് ഹൗ ഡിഡ് ദിസ് സംബന്ധം ഹാപ്പൻസ്? കൻ യു എക്സ്പ്ലെയിൻ ദാറ്റ് ടു മീ? ഹി ഈസ് സേയിങ് ഇറ്റ്സ് വെരി ജെന്യുവിൻ ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? ബിക്കോസ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സേയിങ് ഇൻ ദ ഭഗവത്ഗീത, യദ് ഗത്വാന നിവർത്തന്തേ തദ്ധാമ പരമം മമ. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് കൃഷ്ണസ് വേർഡ്സ് in the Bhagavad Gita. Once you have gone back, there is no question of coming back from there. That's my abode, Krishna says. Krishna says that. Yad gatvana nivartande tad dhama paramam mama. My abode is such, once you have got there, you don't come back from there. Now, if this has happened, what's the guarantee that if we go back, we won't come back? That question will come. It has to be clear, isn't it? So that's when this question came up, that he said, Sri Narada Maharshi says to him, Ekada Brahmana Putra Vishnor Lyogam Yadruchaya Sanandan Adiyo Jagmu Charando Bhuvanatrayam. That these four Kumaras, they are children of Lord Brahma, and they travel all around. They are free to travel. And one day they felt they would like to go and visit Vaikuntham, what it's like.
Pancha Shaddhayana Arbhava Purveshamabhi Purvaja Digvasasa Shishun Matva Dvasto Udhan Pratyashayathadham.
Then they look about 5 or 6 years old, children, small children. But even though they look like that, they are older than Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva calls them as the elder brother. These four boys, Sanaka, Sananda, Sanatana, Sankumara, they were created before Lord Shiva, when Lord Shiva came up. So that's why they said that, and they wear no clothes. They are little boys. They don't wear any clothes. And they went to this Vaikuntham to see what this Vaikuntha looks like. They were just curious to find out. They don't even have a kaubinam there. So this Jaya and Vijaya, who are at the gatekeepers there.
Ashavan kubidayevam yuvam vasamna charhada rajastamobhyam rahide padamule madudusha papishtam asuri yonim balisho yadam ashwada.
When our Jaya and Vijaya stopped them, they were walking inside. They got 7 different gates while going in. When they reached the innermost one, that's where Jaya and Vijaya standing there. They stopped them. Who are you? They said to him. This Jaya and Vijaya told the Kumaras, who are you, Lord? Where are you coming from? No clothes on. Is this the way to come? No, such people are not allowed inside. The fact that you have come like this, without proper dress, and come to Vaikuntham in this way. And he says, Panjashaddhayan arbhava purveshamabhi purvaja digvasasa shishunmatva dvastotan pratyashayathadham. Pratyashayathadham. So, thinking that they are just children, they stop them. And what happened at that time? അശപൻ കുപിതായേവം യുവാം വാസം ന ചാർഹത രജസ്തമോഭ്യാം രഹിതേ പാദമൂലേ മധുദ്വിഷ പാപിഷ്ടം ആസുരിം യോനിം ബാലിശൗ യാദമാശ്വദ. ദീസ് ഫോർ ചിൽഡ്രൻ, ദേ ആർ നോട്ട് ഓർഡിനറി ചിൽഡ്രൻ, ആർ ദേ? സനക, സനന്ദന, സനാതന ആൻഡ് സനത്കുമാർ ഋഷീസ് ദേ ആർ. ഇൻ ഫാക്ട് they are the personalities to whom Brahma first gave the knowledge of the self, transcendental knowledge. And you will see them in all the Upanishads, all the Puranas, everywhere, these four personalities, right? And Sanandana Maharshi is the one who instructed Prithu about transcendental knowledge, self-realization, right? And then Hamsa Gita in the 13th chapter, in the 11th canto, is these four Kumaras coming there in their discussion, right? So they couldn't believe that there are these two people who Jay and Vijay are standing there, that they could behave like this. And immediately they said, straight away, where did you get this demoniac thinking like this to stop us coming in? This is because of Rajogunam and Tamogunam inside. And therefore, go as soon as possible and take birth in the demonic womb. Demonic womb. Because, why demonic womb? In demonic womb, what happens is, this me and you, this dvandvam will be very strong. Demons think like that. That is the special nature of the demoniac body. Me and you. That is dvandvam. This dvandvam becomes very strong in a demoniac mind. In a demoniac mind. They will never be able to see the oneness of the soul in everyone. Present in everyone. Instead, they will always see the difference between the two bodies. Instead of seeing the oneness in everyone, they will see the differences between the body, two bodies all the time. That is demonic nature. So that is the punishment that was given. You will have that. And therefore, once the dvandvam comes, what happens? Ahankaram builds up inside. Ego. Very strong ego. Ahankaram will build up inside. And therefore, Asura Yoni means this demoniac womb. You go and take birth there. So, here, from this indication, what do we understand? You can see here that, where is Vaikuntham then? That question comes, isn't it? Rajogunam, Tamogunam. When those things are not there, that is where it is called Vaikuntham. But Rajogunam, Tamogunam was already there in them. That's why they have spoken like this. So their argument is, our Kumaras are saying to them, you are not allowed to be here. Because in Vaikuntham, there should be no Rajogunam, no Tamogunam. Everyone is supposed to be in pure Satugunam. So therefore, he said, evam shaktau svabhavanal patandau tai kripalubhi proktau punar janmavirbhavam janmavirvam tribhir lokai kalpadam. Verse 38. These Jaya and Vijaya, they fell from that state. And these four Kumaras, they were compassionate. So they told them that you will have to only take three bodies, three lifetimes, and then you can come back here, again back to Vaikuntham, he said. So they gave three lifetimes, you have to go away. And afterwards, you will be qualified to come back again. And then you can come back and get your job back. For three lifetimes, they had to go. And then, when that was given, they said, Jajnyade tau dide putrau daitya danava vanditau hiranya kashipur jeshto hiranyasho anijastata. In this way, they came here as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And out of that, Hiranyakashipu is the elder brother. Hiranyaksha is the younger brother. And both of them were born from Didi Devi, as Didi Devi's children. So, naturally, those two are very powerful personalities. As soon as they came here, they became big leaders, naturally, very powerful leaders. So, Daityas, Danavas, Asuras, they became their leader. Hato Hiranyakashipu, Harina Simharubina, Hiranyaksho Darodhare, Vibhrado Saugaram Vabhu. Hiranyakashipu Krishna killed him as Narasimha Murthy. As Narasimha, he killed Hiranyakashipu, right? Hiranyaksha, Krishna healed him as Varaha Murthy. Because Hiranyaksha pushed the earthly planet underneath the ocean and as lifted him, came in the form of a boar and killed Hiranyaksha. Hiranyakashipu putram prahladam keshava priyam jikhamsu agaro nana yadana mrityu hedave. The reason why Narasimham killed Hiranyakashipu because he tortured Prahlada. He tortured Prahlada and he gave created immense problem for Prahlada. He tortured Prahlada so badly. Therefore, and Prahlada, nothing happened to Prahlada because of that. Sarvabhuda Altmabhudam Tam Prashandam Samadarshanam Bhagaval Tejasas Prashtam Nashak Nodhandam Udyamei. See, Sarvabhuda, what Prahlada's situation. What was Prahlada? Sarvabhuda Altmabhudam Tam Prashandam Samadarshanam Bhagaval Tejasas Prashtam Nashak Nodhandam Udyamei. Prahlada didn't know anything else except that Krishna is present everywhere. Sarvabhudalma bhudam tam. Sarvabhudalma bhudam. All he knows is Krishna who is present in everyone's heart. Everyone's heart. And the word itself is, you can see, Prahlada word itself is, he already realizes that he is present as the soul of everyone. That is Prahlada's realization. That's what you see there. Sarva bhudalma bhudam tam prashandam samadarshanam. This is Prahlada. He knows he is the Alma of everybody. Sarva Bhudalma Bhudam Tam Prashandam Samadarshanam. What is the important thing here is, he is not just saying that I am Brahmam. Sarva Bhudalma Bhudam means Brahmam realization. He is not just saying that. What is happening? He is experiencing it. That's the difference, right? Saying is one thing, but in experience it is another thing. So that is why it is spoken like that. Sarva bhudalma bhudam tam prashantam samadarshanam. Because he knows only one thing, that he is Brahmam. He is Brahmam, who is present in everyone, and therefore samadarshanam. Because you are seeing yourself in everyone, then that is samadarshanam, isn't it? You are seeing yourself in everyone. And he is seeing himself as Brahmam. So therefore samadarshanam. Prashant, and therefore shandam. Prashantam samadarshanam. He is realizing that it is that Brahmam who is present as the soul in everyone. In everyone. And that means from Lord Brahma right up to the small grass, or the smallest insect, in everyone, who is present in all living entities, who is experiencing themselves as I am, I am, I am, that awareness, that's me. That's what that pointing at. Then, that means that to realize, he realizes himself as Atma. What else he is realizing? Right from Lord Brahma, right up to the smallest insect, smallest worm, in all of them, Krishna is present, is it not? As what? As their Atma. And how is the presence of Atma experienced? In the form of awareness, right? Awareness is our what we are, actually. That is the point, again, stressing here. We are actually awareness. bodham. If we don't have awareness, we don't have anything else, isn't it? We don't have a body if we don't have awareness. It is because of awareness we think we have this body. Because we are aware of this body, that's why. Because we have awareness, we actually accept the existence of this world. Why? Because it is in awareness that we are experiencing the existence of the world. Similarly, existence of anything, mind, intelligence, senses, sense enjoyment, everything is in the awareness. So in all these things, the reality is awareness. If awareness is not there, none of these things exist. That's the important thing. So that is the point Prahlada is pointing out to us. This awareness, Sandra Ananda Avabodham, Avabodham it is called. It is this in awareness everything is existing. You can do anything in this world. If you don't have awareness, all this has no meaning, is it not? For example, even if you have studied all the Shastram throughout life, right? Say you have, people think that if you memorize all the verses, you will become spiritually advanced. You don't. That's also not guaranteed. Because why? All this is there. At the time of death, all the verses you have memorized will also go. All the knowledge you have acquired will also go. Because mind is gone. Intelligence also goes. So you can see at that time, but awareness won't go still. Even at the time of death, when everything else has happened, the body is going, the mind is going, intelligence is going, senses are gone, everybody else is gone from your life, the world is gone, you are leaving this world once for all you know, but you don't lose your awareness still. Awareness is our key factor. It is in awareness all these things happening. That is why it's spoken like this. And Prahlada is that person who has come to this realization that he is awareness. He is nothing else, awareness. It is in that awareness all the other things are happening. That means our world is existing, body is existing, all the relationships in this world existing, and all other activities in this world, everything is in the awareness. At the time of death, everything goes. All, but still what remains is awareness. Sandranandavabhodalpagamanubamidam. And that awareness is not limited by time and space. Kaladeshavadibhyam. And it is, you cannot pollute it. Because that is the only one pure thing in this whole package. This awareness. So that is why it is mentioned here that Prahlada had that realization of that awareness. We don't have that, isn't it? So therefore, because he knows that he is at awareness, in him there is no me and he. Him and somebody else separately from him. Because he knows it is this awareness in him what is present in everyone else as the awareness. That awareness is one. There is not so many different awareness. Awareness is that consciousness which is present in everyone, and that's one. There is not many. So because he is situated in that state, he is seeing that he is present in everyone. He is present in everyone. And therefore, for him, there is no difference between him and somebody else. Doesn't exist in him. Doesn't exist in him. So, and he is seeing that all that is present here is this awareness, nothing else. So, such a person, how can you kill him? It's not possible, isn't it? As far as he is concerned, Prahlada is concerned, what exists here is only soul, nothing else, pure consciousness. And it is clear, crystal clear to him, and that too, not on an intellectual level, in his realizations, it is. Soul cannot kill another soul. That's not possible. Soul cannot kill anybody, isn't it? Because there is only one. Soul is one. Therefore, in order to kill, one has to kill the another. There should be two. But there is no two existing anywhere. So, therefore, there is no two things. There is only one vastu existing here. And that is ekam. And because there is only one thing, no karmam is possible for that one thing. No kriya or karmam will happen within that. So, even if you try to give trouble to Prahlada, it will not work. It cannot work for him. Because if he thinks that he is that body, then you can kill him. But he is not thinking like that. He has no identification with the body, and totally in identification with the soul, he is existing like that, you can't do anything with him. You can't do anything with him. That is why it says here, sarva-bhūdātma-bhūdam tam prashāndam samadarshanam bhagaval tejasās praṣṭam nāśakno dhandu mudyameihi. Then Hiranyakashipu tried very hard to kill him, but he couldn't kill him. Why? Because of this problem. Sarva-bhūdātma-bhūdam. He is pure awareness. He is in that state all the time. What can you do with him? Prashantam samadarshanam bhagaval tejasas prashtam. So, why is that? Why is he like that? Because he has completely become conscious of the very Atma inside, awareness inside. So, you can't do anything. What that means is, his mind is not operating anymore. You see, only when we have the mind operating, mind is working, that is when that you will feel dundum. If the mind has completely disappeared, there is no more mind inside working separately from Atma, individual. And mind is a force which has come from Atma. As long as this mind is present, we will have dundum. We will have dundum, duality will be there. But once the mind has completely disappeared inside, then he will never be able to react. Even if somebody comes and gives trouble to his body, he won't feel revengeful. For us, if a mosquito bites here, immediately we want revenge. Is it not? Why is that? Because of this. That in our case, we have the mind still. We have the mind still. And mind will say to us straight away, we have to teach him a lesson, he shouldn't come back to us again. Is it not? So, even with a small mosquito, we are reacting like this, right? But in Prahlada's case, what to talk about mosquito? Hiranyakashipu was trying to kill him with the elephants and poisonous snakes and throwing him from the mountains and punishing him in all possible ways. Nothing was happening to him because he has no identification with the body. Identification with the body. That is the difference. So, that is why it's saying here that suppose if I want to revenge someone, I have to first feel that he is giving me trouble. Only then I can revenge, isn't it? Suppose I'm not feeling any revenge to any feeling towards somebody. I don't feel if somebody is trying to give me trouble. If I'm not feeling that, then how will I take revenge towards someone? So, suppose somebody is giving you trouble. I want to escape from that. It is at that time I will look for a solution to the problem. But when Prahlada's case, or when somebody is trying to give trouble to his body, Prahlada is not thinking he is giving trouble to me, because he is not identifying with the body. Here, body is drishyam. That means, body you are seeing like that. You can see the body with the senses, isn't it? And at the same time, inside, from the platform of the soul, Atma, you know that you are not the body. In your awareness, you have no identification with this body. Identification with the body. So, if this body goes, nothing is going to happen. So, when you study this Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu pastime, people do wonder, isn't it? How could this happen? That elephants were kicking him, nothing was happening. Poisonous snakes, all these time when we are reading this, we are thinking, Prahlada has a body like us. Actually, Prahlada has no body. What Prahlada has got is only awareness. So, one time elephant is kicking, for us who are looking at him, elephant is kicking Prahlada. But Prahlada is not there in that body. Prahlada is somewhere else. He is in the platform of the soul. He is not feeling that. So, even though elephant is doing all these things, Prahlada is not affected by anything. And that is, and for us, those who are looking at it, they are still seeing the body present there. This is Maya. This is what is called Maya. Maya's potencies you will never be able to understand. Maya can show all these things to us. So, when Hiranyakashipu and Prahlada pastime, when you read through that, We feel we want to take the side of Prahlada, don't we? And we want to deal with Hiranyakashipu. When you see the children, when they watch this drama of Narasimhavataram drama, right? They feel strongly identified with Prahlada's side because he is in our party. Whereas Hiranyakashipu is on the other side, right? So we will develop some understanding like this about it. But the proper way to understand is this, that Prahlada is not in the body anymore. He is in the present as the Atma present in everyone. What can you do with him? And it is this Prahlada who is inside Hiranyakashipu. Remember, when Shubhabrahmarshi, when we refer to him, Tam Sarvabhuda Hridayam Munimanato Asmi. Why that statement is so important? Sarvabhuda Hridayam. Present in everyone's heart. He is present in Parikshit's heart also. Who? Shukabrahmarshi. In his realized state, he is present in Parikshit's heart. That is why, when finally Parikshit realized the truth, Shukabrahmarshi didn't say goodbye even. Because you can say goodbye to someone only if he is separate from you. But if you are present in him inside as the same person, how do you say goodbye to somebody? That's why Shukabrahmarshi got up and walked out. So, when you look at their realizations, Parikshit's, and that is the state Parikshit has reached at the end. Aham Brahma Param Dhamma Brahma Aham Paramam Padam Evan Samichan Altmanam Altmanyathaya Nishkale. Once you come to that stage, there is no more body, bodily identity, and all these problems associated with the body. That's all finished with that. So, that is why it is mentioned like this, that that mind is gone, completely gone. So, therefore, he is not feeling revengeful anymore. And so, when you are giving trouble to somebody on a bodily level, right, you are reacting like that. Because shariram is drishyam, it is something what you are seeing. But he knows, that person knows, he is not the body. And even if this body goes, he is not bothered about it. Do not look at Prahlada's body like the way we look at our body. Prahlada, when he came from the womb itself, that body was shown by Maya in such a way, in Puranam it is presented like this, that a realized soul is coming from Kayadu's womb, but he is covered with a body by Maya. And all these activities, what's going on with Hiranyakashipu, is Hiranyakashipu is dealing with Prahlada's body. Hiranyakashipu cannot deal with Prahlada because he doesn't know Prahlada, who Prahlada is, isn't it? So, how do you understand this? For example, when you move from the vacant state to the dream state, is there a problem? How we are able to leave this identity totally into the dream state and completely established in the dream state, totally unaffected by everything what was happening in the dream vacant state, in the same thing. It's the same thing, in the same way. So, everything we lose, what we have, your bank balance, your car, your house, your family, all your possessions, everything what you have, in your dream state, you are not carrying it with you. You are losing it straight away. In the same way, okay, it may come back after some time. When you wake up, when you fall back into the vacant state, it comes back to you again. But you don't think about it when you are in the dream state. You are not thinking about it, isn't it? So that from that you can understand that when you go through the dream state and the deep sleep, you are completely finished with everything what you had here. Every single day this is happening in our own life. You are losing everything. Only thing is, you are getting it back the next day. But there is no guarantee you have to get it back. You may get it back. There are some people who have gone with that. They never came back in the sleep. If you die in the sleep, then what happens? You can't say, oh, I didn't write my will, so I'll come back and write the will and then I'll come back again. It doesn't happen, is it? So you can see there that this is how much we have connection with this body. The moment you go into dream state or to the deep sleep, everything what you are doing in this world has become meaningless. It has no more reality. although for a few years we coming back and going away, coming back into these three states, right? And you go back to it again. But one day what happens? Once for all, we leave this and go. That's all. That's death. What we call it as death. Now, in Prahlada's case, he's already in that liberated state. He has no connection with the body. Body, those who are here, they are looking at Prahlada's body. We are drawing a picture of Prahlada, a five-year-old boy, with a shikha and a tilak and everything. Where is all that? Awareness is no tilak, he say. Awareness, consciousness, what has it got? It hasn't got a body itself. So, but for our convenience, for us to make it, like just like we put tilak on Krishna, we decorate Krishna with everything, similarly we do it Prahlada also. But Krishna, real Krishna is, Krishna menam avehitvam, altmanam ahilalpanam, what is that? Dehiva bhadi mayaya. Jagatida swapetra dehiva bhadi mayaya. That form what you are seeing is what maya's presence you are experiencing that. That is not real Krishna. Therefore, Lord Brahma is saying there, Krishna menam avehitvam, alpanam akhila alpana. His real Krishna's identity is Atma, who is present in everyone. That is Krishna. That is Krishna. That's the way to understand Krishna. Otherwise, we will get affected by the way we people generally represent Krishna to us. Present Krishna to us. So, just like from the waking state, when you go to the dream and to the deep sleep, how we are able to renounce everything what we had in the waking state? Nothing is affecting us at that time. And in the same way, and we don't get worried about it in the dream state. Oh, I lost everything. I didn't bring my computer with me or mobile phone with me into the dream state. Do I worry about it? No, I don't. When I go into the deep sleep, I don't worry about it. Isn't it? Similarly, this body may come, may go one day. It should not. Only when it is affecting us, that's where the problem comes. Isn't it? And that is not here. That's not happening in Prahlada's case. Prahlada's concern, whatever that is happening to that body, it is not affecting him. Why? Because he has no identification with that body. And that is why, and Hiranyakashipu does not know that. Hiranyakashipu is thinking that Prahlada is like him. Total identification with the body. So, therefore, even though Hiranyakashipu has tortured him, Prahlada is peaceful. Totally unaffected by it. This is the reason behind that. Therefore, that's what it is said. Prashantam. Remember? Sarvabhudalpabhudam tam prashantam samadarshanam bhagaval tejasa aspraštam nashakno dhandumudhyameihi. Bhagavat tejas, Krishna's tejas, that is what it is. The mind has completely gone. There is no mind inside. When there is mind, there is dvandvam. When there is dvandvam, there is fear. And when there is fear, there is revenge. All these things are after effects of that. Samadarshanam. Samadarshanam means he can only see everything as one, not separately. And he sees Brahman everywhere. That means even in Hiranyakashipu, he is seeing, Prahlada is seeing Brahman. Brahman is present inside. So therefore, there is no revenge towards father either. Father either. And this is what Narada Maharshi given him in the womb, that realization. Right? So, even though they tried very hard to kill him, they could not destroy Prahlada. Why? Because Maya won't allow, that body is under Maya's protection. Maya is keeping that body going. So, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, they were present here, and we say Krishna has killed them, Narasimha has killed them, and Varahamurti has killed them. And because the Kumaras have cursed them, they had to come here. And they didn't get released from here because three lifetimes they said they had to be here. So they came back again. That's what he's saying. Tatastau rakshasau jatau.
കേശിന്യം വിശ്രവസുതൗ രാവണ കുംഭകർണശ്ച സർവലോകോപതാപനൗ.
About they are saying there that they again had to accept birth, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu first, and then Ravana and Kumbhakarna later. They were born as the sons of Vishravas, and their mother's name was Keshini, and they were given trouble to the whole world.
Tatravi Raghavo Bhutva Nihana Chava Muktaye Rama Viryam Shroshyasitvam Markandeya Mukhal Prabho.
That they, Ramachandra came and then killed them both, Ravana and Kumbhakarna. And that Ramayanam story you can hear from Markandeya. Remember about Markandeya? We discussed Markandeya before. So, Markandeya is Purana Acharya. Ramayanam you can hear from him. Narada Maharshi says to Yudhishthira, don't ask me about Ramayanam now, because Ramayanam you will hear from Markandeya later, he said. And after that he says,
Taveva Kshatriyav Jadav Madrishya Salmajav Tava Adhuna Shaba Narmukto Krishna Chakra Hadam Hasav.
That they have come back again, this Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and they have come as Shishubala and Dandavakra. And in reality, they have not been killed. Actually, what has happened is, whatever sinful reactions were left over from the two, after the two lifetimes, they were not killed, that Krishna has killed their sinful reactions with the Sudarshana disc. They felt, Jaya and Vijaya felt, to give trouble to the four Kumaras, and that kind of buddhi, because of that they had to accept this body of Shishubala and Dandavakra, Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and they will not have that again. It will not happen to them again. That means when you see great personalities like the four Kumaras, this thought of offending them will not happen to them again. And they were liberated after that. So again, Vairanu Bandha Tivrena Dhyanena Achyuta Salmadam Nidav Punar Hare Parshvam Jagmadur Vishnu Parshadav. 46 verse. How did they come to this state? Because through the power of enmity, a revenge nature in Shishubala and Dandavakra, and due to that the strong meditation of Krishna, and therefore they have got back to the same original state where they came from. So this story, Prahlada's story, this Hiranyakashipu story, Hiranyaksha story, what is it teaching us? That is the question, is it not? Because there has to have some message in all these things. Otherwise, all this has no meaning. The message is this, that the seventh canto is karma vasana. Karma udaya karma vasana. And karma vasana is two types, sadvasana and durvasana. This Jaya and Vijaya, they are the examples of durvasana, bad vasana. How durvasana or bad vasanas can lead into accepting a body. Again, to teach us this important point, that based on the vasanas we have created, we have to change the body. We have to accept the body. Suppose there is a lot of bad vasanas inside. There is no doubt, because in the beginning of this chapter, it was very clearly mentioned. The way we are now here, it's an indication of what our previous life was. The way we are now is also an indication of what our future life will be. Both past and the future, you can read from the present. That's how Bhagavatam talks about that. In the earlier chapter beginning, it was mentioned all that, right? So, karma vasana is a powerful thing to show to us. If there is vasana inside, due to karmam, it will generate fresh bodies. New bodies will be created. And that will depend upon the type of vasanas what is inside. Sadvasana or Durvasana. So, if there is sadvasana, the example is Prahlada. The question is Prahlada. That Prahlada has, you can see that in spite of accepting a body in the Kayadu's womb as Hiranyakashipu's son, the vasanas are so powerful inside Prahlada that nothing happened. Jaya and Vijaya, they were gatekeepers in the Vaikuntham, isn't it? That means, when you say gatekeepers in Vaikuntham, means it's the highest position you can think of as far as job is concerned. Is it not? It's not even, American president is not closer to that anywhere. It's got a much higher position there. Krishna's gatekeepers, imagine that. That he has got those jobs, right? And from there, they had to come here, to this earthly planet. And you can imagine that has to happen to them. You can't even imagine that, such a thing happening. That I have to leave Vaikuntham and come here, and then work hard here to live. That sort of situation, right? So you can't even dream about that. So, but because Vaikuntham state means, the state of Vaikuntham means no fear at all. Whereas this means always fearful. So people like that, they had to come and take birth here. And normally we say that once you're gone to Vaikuntham, no more coming back, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. So that has happened here. Why? Because they upset the Kumaras. Sanaga, Sananda, Sanadana and Sanat Kumara, they upset them, isn't it? So no matter how elevated you are, how realized you are, if you upset somebody, especially great personalities like this, and that will create a vasana inside. If you do something like that, it will create a vasana inside. And that vasana will pull you down. So that vasana's power of pulling a person from a higher level to a lower level is all this story about. That is the message of the story. How powerful vasana is capable of pulling us from a very elevated state to a very lower state. It can pull you down. And that is what we call it as falling down. From Vaikuntham to, in katha form, when we say, we have to present it like this, isn't it? Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, and all the fighting, and because it makes it more interesting. But what's the message? Message is this, that if you have Durvasana inside, it will drag you down. If you have Sadvasana inside, it will take you up. It will elevate you. So, Sadvasana or good Vasana, Prahlada is the example, and for Durvasana, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And you can also see here that even though Prahlada has come from Hiranyakashipu, that means the seed is Hiranyakashipu. Seed is Hiranyakashipu and Prahlada is coming from there. So normally you would expect Prahlada to have bad vasana because the seed is bad, is it not? According to DNI, it should be the other way. But here Bhagavatam is not accepting the DNI. If Hiranyaksha's DNI should come to Prahlada, but it's not coming. But something more to it than that. That's why. So, Hiranyakashipu's son cannot be a good person. That's what even Indra thought. How can it be? But it has happened like that. It has happened like that. And he had four sons, Prahlada, Ahlada, Anuhlada, Samhlada. Out of that, this Prahlada is exceptional, right? So, only Prahlada among the four is like Prahlada. Prahlada is, right? Not the other three. They were not like Prahlada. So, how come? If demoniac father like Hiranyakashipu has got a son so nice and so highly qualified spiritually, happened like this, such a personality. He is not from the, if you take from the father's side, that's not his tradition. If you take from the mother's side, that is also not his tradition, from neither side. So, if you look at Kayadu, did not have such a great devotion to generate a child like this from her womb. Suppose sometimes if the mother is highly devotional, then you may have a son who will also a devotee. But that is also, you can't say here. Kayadu was an ordinary person who served Hiranyakashipu like a good wife and did everything what Hiranyakashipu told her to do, and like a nice wife, she took care of Hiranyakashipu like that. So, neither from the father's side nor from the mother's side, this didn't happen. So, it is there that the power of that Salsangam. Narada, remember, Narada Maharshi's experiment worked. He thought, I will catch hold of someone who is coming from the demoniac father and the demoniac mother. I will teach him Brahmavidya and let's see what happens. See the result, what happened. This is what the power of that Salsangam of Narada Maharshi. So, Narada Maharshi's experiment succeeded. Remember I mentioned before, he was trying to try it out. He tried with the old people. And you know what happened? All the OAPs all sat there and slept. Brahmavidya was spoken, OAPs didn't get anything. They all got up and then when they're leaving, they said, it was a very nice class. They gone home. The young people, he spoke, Hariyashwa and Shabalashwa, didn't work. They took it on board and started intellectually analyzing everything. Nothing happened. It took a long time. They went to perform penances for 10,000 years after that. Spiritual life is not like that. And then they thought that, Narada Maharshi thought, maybe we should try with the little boy before he gets spoiled, Dhruva. Even that didn't get the result what he wanted. So it is finally he picked up on Prahlada. Before he comes out of the womb, I'll get him, he said. So before Kayadu had the baby, while inside the womb, Narada Maharshi goes and instructs Prahlada Brahmavidya. Actually, he spoke to Kayadu, but Kayadu slept. Forgotten. Again slept. Only it worked on Prahlada. It worked with Prahlada. So that is what it is saying here. That only because of Narada Maharshi's that special, it so happened that Prahlada happened to be the person on whom this experiment happened. So, Srinarada Maharshi decided, let me try, see what happens. The result was Prahlada like this. And has Prahlada done anything for Narada Maharshi in the past? Nothing. He hasn't done anything. Just by accident it happened like this. So, when Kayadu was carrying Prahlada, and Indra was dragging Kayadu to be killed because Indra was feeling that Hiranyakashipu's seed is inside. It will be worse than Hiranyakashipu when he comes out. At that time, Narada Maharshi says to him that I'm going to protect Prahlada. So, in the name of protecting and wanted to experiment with Prahlada, he told Indra, leave Kayadu with me. I'll take her to my ashram. And this baby will be inside, Kayadu will be a devotee, he won't give you any trouble. So pacified Indra like this and took Kayadu to the ashram. And that's what happened. So even with great souls. Narada Maharshi and all is like that. All great rishis you will find like this. You will think that they are cursing us and are doing something wrong to us. But the end result is, it's all good for the person who gets cursed. You saw that with Chitraketu, Angiras Maharshi. Same thing happened. Nalakuvera and Manigriva, Narada Maharshi, same thing happened. Nalakuvera and Manigriva hasn't done anything to Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi decided that they should not get degraded like this. So he decided to curse them and get them out from that. So therefore, if somehow or the other, if we get noticed by a great soul like Narada Maharshi or Angiras or anybody like that, then we will escape. We don't need anything else. At that time we don't need any sadhana. They're just that mercy will come like, and it comes by accident. You can't explain how that comes. So, even though born as Hiranyakashipu's son, no sign of any demonic nature in Prahlada. And this was only possible because of Sri Narada Maharshi. So, through association with realized souls, these qualities will build up inside us. Automatically it will develop inside us. And if we offend means that if you disrespect them, then that will also grow inside as a durvasana. If you serve realized souls, it will develop as a sadvasana inside. If you offend the realized souls in any way, it will develop as a durvasana inside us. For them nothing will happen. For the realized soul nothing will happen. But the impact of all that in us is, it will be either a good vasana or a bad vasana. Either a sadvasana or a durvasana. Therefore, if you want sadvasana, you have to offer a recognize the realized souls and their glories. You have to worship them. And if you cultivate durvasana inside, we will degrade ourselves. So that is the important message in the 7th canto. Udaya karma vasana. Udaya karma vasana. That message, if one understands properly, you can say, yes, understood this Prahlada Charitam. That karma vasana is the one that is dragging us up, dragging us down. What pulls up and what drags down. Both are karma vasana. And that is called sadvasana and durvasana. That udi means karma vasana. Udaya karma vasana. This karma vasana to teach us this story of Prahlada in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, now look back to 6th canto. There is sort of interesting things in the Bhagavatam. That in the 6th canto, while talking about Ajamila, it was mentioned there. Here it says Udaya Karma Vasana. But what was speciality about 6th canto? 6th canto is saying that if karma vasana is the whole thing in life, everything is based on karma and karma vasana, if it is like that, suppose somehow or the other you have got attracted to Bhagavatam, you got in front of a Srimad Bhagavatam and you got attracted to it somehow or the other it happened. You got attracted to some devotee, or you got some attracted to Krishna, one way or the other. If you got there, then that vasana can change. Even there was durvasana inside. And that is done by, that is the purpose behind Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam's glory is this, that even if we have durvasana inside, if somehow or the other you happen to come in front of Bhagavatam, and the holy name, these two things is capable of completely changing the whole situation inside. Durvasana can disappear and sadvasana can build up inside. That is why this Krishna's pastimes in the Bhagavatam spoken in the particular way it is spoken. That we'll have to see when we start discussing the 10th canto. We will discuss that separately, because even though 7th canto is saying this, Udaya Karma Vasana. Karma Vasana, even though it is controlling our present life in the way it is today, but if somehow by Krishna's grace or arrangement, if we happen to come in front of Bhagavadam, and if Bhagavadam gets inside us, then even this karma vasana can get away, go away from inside, will not cause any problems after that. It will not drag us down anymore. So karma vasana is only effective as long as we are not taking Bhagavadam seriously. Otherwise it will not have this effect. Because you can see here that in the 10th canto, when the Krishna's pastimes were spoken, Sri Shuka Brahmarshi mentions this particularly there, that anything, even the worst offenses what may have happened in our previous life or this lifetime, and even if that has created any vasana inside, even that vasana will go by hearing about Krishna. That is the power of Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's holy name. So that is the point stressed in this first chapter of the seventh canto. If you study canto by canto, and in all cantos, the first chapter will tell you what the whole canto is about. That is why we are now discussing like this. We discussed sixth canto, we saw first chapter. Now we have discussed the seventh canto, first chapter. Now we look at the eighth canto, first chapter. So when you have listened to all the three chapters, sixth canto, seventh canto, and the eighth canto, and then within yourself, you will come to some understanding about it. Why Bhagavatam is structured in a particular way. Because there are several forces what's operating in our spiritual life. There is the modes of nature. There is our swabhavam inside us, vasanas inside, our prarabdham there. In the middle, we are trying to find out what we should do here, is it not? So the explanation to that, you will get a better understanding when you hear every canto in this way. So we'll start the 8th canto tomorrow morning, and today we will stop. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, Mahaprabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.